So we're in Romans. I'm scheduled to teach Romans 14 here in probably several weeks. I think Matt will be in 7 for about 3 more weeks. But anyway, we'll get there here before we know it. And I'd been thinking about this. There was some things floating around on the internet that I was called about a few weeks back, and I guess had my mind on it. And then again, thinking through, okay, we're good. Thinking through, you know, Romans 14 and the things that are presented there. And my hope is that this morning, of course, we'll have this hour and next hour. Evan will teach next hour. But that, you know, maybe these discussions will have us more prepared. Maybe when we get to Romans 14, these things will be on our mind and we'll be able to, you know, process through these things. My personal opinion of the whole topic in general is that it seems that folks want to try to complicate it when it's really not all that complicated. It might be difficult, but conceptually, seems to me to be pretty clear what the Bible says about our liberties, the things that fall under the realm of my liberty that I have in Christ. And so, you know, we'll discuss those things. And like I say, Evan will, of course, have our follow-up in regards to this. And, you know, we'll have coming up in Romans, we'll be able to discuss it again. But if you look at this idea of liberty or freedom, there's two Greek words that are used. One's used 10 times and one's used 102 times, right? So this idea of liberty or freedom comes up quite a bit in our New Testaments. The first one that's used the least amount of times is the one that's used in 1 Corinthians 10. Would be a passage that we would be, I think, mostly familiar with, or maybe the passage that comes to our mind when we think about this idea of liberty or freedom. And Thayer's defines that as liberty to do or to omit things having no relation to salvation. All right, and then this next word or Greek word used, Thayer defines as power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases, leave or permission, the power of authority or influence, and of right or power of rule or government. All right. So turn to 1 Corinthians 8 and then verse 9. 1 Corinthians 8 and then verse 9. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat, are we the worst? Are we the worse? If you go to 1 Corinthians 9 and then verse 12, this is also the same Greek word. If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. So he calls it here, Paul calls it here his right. All right, so that would also be this idea of liberty. Verse 18, what is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. All right, so he calls it a right, he calls it authority. Same Greek word. chapter 8 and in verse 9, he calls it a liberty. He says there, but beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block. All right, so that's all the same word, a right, authority, or a liberty. All right, and so if you think to that definition, power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases. All right, so it's my right. It's my liberty to do it. All right, it's under my authority, as Paul says here. That would be how this word would be used. All right, and if you go to 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 29. Here's an example of the other Greek word. Conscience, I say not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? All right. Of course, you know, we're not going to go through those other passages, but that's, you know, those are the two Greek words being used, not, at least in my mind, not a lot of difference, but there is a little bit of a different meaning or definition depending on what verse you may be looking at. All right, taking it just a second to catch up. All right, this I think is important to think through when we're thinking about liberties. We're dealing with actions that God has not condemned. All right, we're not dealing with actions that God has condemned. All right, and keep that in mind, because that's going to come up, I think, as we keep going through, because this does matter. When you're looking at Romans 14 specifically, and of course back in 1 Corinthians as well, this idea of eating of meats, what's going on, you're talking about binding where God has not bound. This kind of relates back to the first bullet point. We're not loosing where God has not loosed. All right. So this idea of someone trying to bind something that God has not bound. All right. We're not talking about, you know, giving up something that God has not given up. All right. We're talking about things that God does not have a law against. He has essentially said it doesn't matter either way. All right. So keep that in mind, because there is a difference between these two. All right. This becomes a lot different. This is a totally different subject. This loosing where God has not loosed. That would be giving away God's grace. That'd be saying that, you know, well, God has spoken on the subject, but I'm going to make things looser. All right. And of course, we'll get into some of these things later on. But keep in mind, again, we're dealing with actions that God has not condemned, and we're dealing with things where someone's trying to bind something that God has not bound. That's what's going on in Romans 14 and in 1 Corinthians. Keep this in mind as well. This idea, when you come to the weak and the strong, certainly talked about in terms of that in Romans 14, 1 Corinthians as well. The conservative view, or the more conservative view, would be the weak person. All right? That's who Paul calls the weak in Romans 14, is the one that has the more I think restrictive view might be. I think me and Evan were talking about this yesterday, maybe even that maybe restrictive. I think is the word you used, wasn't it? That's probably a better term than conservative. Here is restrictive. All right. So the more restrictive view is the weak person, and the more I just have up here, the more liberal view is Paul calls that one the strong person. All right. So. I think we got to remember that when we come into these discussions, that you know, the strong person is a lot of times, I think, the one that views themselves as being more restrictive, but Paul says the exact opposite. All right. And I've got in here questions to consider. There's several of them in here. There's things that, you know, I think we need to have thought through. We need to maybe consider them in our own mind and think, process all the way through them. So when you come to this idea of liberties, it's you know, the Bible talks a lot about giving them up. All right, that's what is mostly discussed about it, it seems. All right, and you know, one way I think about it, at least in my own mind, is when judgment day comes and you're standing before the throne, which liberty would you like to try to defend that you were not willing to give up? You stand there before Jesus. Just get this picture now. You're standing before the throne, it's judgment day, and you have decided in this life that you weren't going to give up a liberty for the sake of someone else, which one of those do you want to try to defend when you get there? And I have here as kind of a follow-up to that, which liberty would you like to explain to Jesus that you held on to that got in the way of the furtherance of the kingdom, or caused an issue or a problem with someone else, caused a problem among your brethren? That it was something you could have just gave it up. God said God doesn't care. You could have gave it up, but you decided not to, and now you're standing before the throne. Which one of those are you wanting to defend? And then I've heard this. I guess mindset maybe be the best. Well, you know what? All right. They were being this. You know, I have this liberty, and someone's trying to take it away. Well, we studied it, and I proved it from Scripture. I had the right to do it. All right. So yeah, it was a liberty. I had the right to do it. When you get to Romans 14, does anybody think that Paul was not clear about what the truth was? Or in 1 Corinthians 10? All right. I think you're going to find when we read through there is that Paul was very clear that it didn't matter. All right. But yet, he says in Romans 15 and verse 1, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. All right. So he cleared it all up. There's no gray about what was the truth, but yet he said, you still give these things up. All right? So this idea of, well, we're going to study through this, and then I don't have to give up any of my liberties because here it is, black and white, it's clear. I don't have to give that up. Go to 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 4 says, therefore concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. Alright? Paul's very clear. Verse 11. And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Alright, so he's saying here that you have the knowledge. He's saying there that in verse 4, we know that an idol is nothing. It's nothing in the world. All right. he's clearing it up. There's no difference. But yet, we're still told in this context to give those things up. Verse 13 of chapter 8, Paul says, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat again, lest I make my brother stumble. And he has just said that it doesn't matter. Of the eating of meats. All right. So again, this mentality, I think we need to think through long and hard, that this right here will not stand the test of reading through and studying the Scriptures. I don't want to be that person on Judgment Day, I can just tell you. Is this limited to acts of worship? All right. Well, so, you know, this idea of giving up things, giving up liberties, you get in this discussion, well, how far does this go? How far into my personal life am I going to have to go in giving up of these liberties that I have in Christ? All right? Well, the eating of meats has nothing to do with worship. Okay? The eating of meats is something that you do in your own home away from the assembly. All right? So, no, this is not limited to just actions that we partake of together in a worship service. These are actions, can be, that go on into our personal lives and maybe deeper than we would like for them to go. And then, what was Paul not willing to give up for the sake of the kingdom? All right. Think through that. What was Jesus not willing to give up for your sake? I mean, he left heaven. He gave up all that. And then you think through the things that Paul said, and we're going to read some more of these verses here in a minute. But, you know, you really need to think through Paul's attitude in all these things. And of course, we certainly don't have time this morning to go all the way back through Acts and look at all the things that Paul was willing to do. We see him go, offer himself with those guys. I forget what chapter in Acts that is, but Paul, you see his attitude in these things, and I do think it begs the question, does anybody think Paul wasn't willing to give up anything he possibly could? I think he was. And again, we'll read some of those passages in a minute. So you mean to tell me that someone else's misunderstanding of Scripture or feelings or their conscience can affect me and what I do in my personal life? That's really, I think, where it starts coming to is, these things come up, something comes up, and it's like, well, hold up now. How far is this going to stretch? How far is this going to go? And does, of course, we just talked about this, but is it going to come all the way down into my personal life? What I do in my own home, does it stretch that far? I think the answer to that is yes. And then you'll hear this argument about offended only. So, folks will go to Romans 14 and verse 21. If you want to turn your Bibles there, we can read that. Romans 14 and verse 21. So the only time I have to give anything up is if I have offended my brother. And then the people will go in and say that offend means make my brother sin. Okay, so that's the only time that I'm required to give anything up. All right, I've certainly heard this argued. Romans 14, verse 21, it is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. All right, the Greek of this, so if you were to read that verse in Greek, it says, it is good neither to eat meat nor to drink wine nor anything in which the brother of you stumbles or is led into sin or is sick. All right. I'm no English scholar, but to me it seems that there is at least three things here. There's this idea of stumbles, there's this idea of led into sin, and there's this idea of sick. All right. And in the New King James, it would be stumbles, offended, or is made weak. All right, that would be how it would read. So we have to go into this and figure out, okay, well, is it just limited to this? Because I've certainly heard this argued by multiple people that the only liberties that I have to give up do go back to just ones that would make someone else sin in some way. I personally do not think that this is all that is covered in our New Testaments. Verse 15, even in the same chapter, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food for the one whom Christ died. All right, see, at least in Romans 14, you have this idea of making your brother grieved, making him stumble, offending him, or making him weak. All right, just in 14. And of course, I don't think it's just limited to there. There's certainly discussions of it in 1 Corinthians as well. Go to Romans. 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8, and in verse 9. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. 8 and verse 12. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against God. All right, so you have this idea of wounding their conscience, and that being the person would be sinning by wounding someone else's weak conscience. Verse 13. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 24. 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 19. 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 19. For though I am free from all men. I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and in verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so again, you have this question that we have to answer is, well, how far does this, what exactly do I have to give up and how far does this go? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And then again, if you're thinking, well, it's only if I offend, well, I don't see in what Paul says that that's where it's limited to. That's what I would say. I don't know how you come to the entirety of the New Testament, the entirety of what would be said here, and I know I hadn't read all of it, that you could come to the conclusion that the only liberty that I'm required to give up is if somehow it makes my brother sin. It certainly seems to stretch further than that. Paul says, I've become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. All right, so he's willing to do anything. He's willing to do anything inside the law of Christ. You know, he says in verse 21, not being without law toward God, but under law towards Christ. Anything that he can give up inside that realm, he's giving it up. That's what he's saying here. He's not going to hang on to it. He's going to become, to the weak, he's going to become weak. To those who are under law, he's going to be as under law. To those who are without law, he's going to be as without law under the realm of Christ. Going to do anything he can possibly do to further the kingdom, to save some, as he says here. Well, you are holding me hostage. You are holding me hostage. What do you mean? This is crazy. Anybody ever heard that? You know, you come to this discussion, and it's like, well, again, it all comes back to, well, how far does this go? What all do I have to give up? And then, you know, I've heard this. Well, that's just holding me hostage. Well, I would say maybe so, maybe not. All right? I think this will require some judgment, is what I think. If you go to Romans 16, I think Paul deals with that person that's just a divisive individual. And, of course, I think he deals with it more than just this place. But he certainly, you know, he's coming off of course, most of this discussion seems to happen around Romans 14, even though it's not the only place it's mentioned in Scriptures. But even in the book of Romans, you know, he says there in Romans 16 and verse 17, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. So maybe so. But I think we'd better be pretty careful there, you know. We'd better not put folks in this camp that shouldn't be in this camp. But again, I think there's going to be some judgment required there. This is kind of wrapping up some thoughts. I'm trying to, at least with this last slide, kind of bring everything back home as far as, you know, thinking through what we've talked about so far this morning, thinking through the entirety, or trying to at least think through in a big picture, what are we dealing with in passages like Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8 and 9 and 1 Corinthians 10? You know, like how do we kind of ask all the right questions, encompass all the thoughts that maybe we should encompass? And I'm sure I'm not doing a complete job of this, but in trying to sum all those things up, we'll look at these last few things. So, you know, again, as conclusion, what liberty or right of mine is not included in here? All right, so, you know, again, what liberty can I hang on to that I shouldn't, really? If my brother has an issue with something that is my liberty, should I give it up? And what does this process look like when an issue does come up? All right. I guess this first surfaced not long ago with something Ms. Wanda put up about yoga. And as y'all know, my wife, well, maybe you don't know, but Kenzie goes to yoga classes from time to time. And, you know, so anyway, we got to talk about this. And, you know, she got relatively, heated, maybe not the right word, but she was excited about it, maybe you would say. You know, how in the world, I was like, well, hold up now. Hold up. Well, I do think, you know, we would have to need to think through as a group. You know, so something like this comes up. So I think it brought something about Asian culture. I don't know the exact details, but somebody, yoga's bad, all right, whatever. Well, okay. Well, then what do we do? You know, I think that's a legitimate question. You know, something comes up like the eating of meats, okay? Maybe more closer to us would be something like Christmas or, you know, Halloween or, you know, somebody's got something with that, all right? Christians shouldn't do X, X, and X, okay? Well, you know, I asked her, I said, well, what do you think we should do? Well, me personally, and maybe we talk about this the next hour, but I do think that as a group we should say, okay, well, there's an issue here. Well, let's study it. Let's see what the Bible says. But at the end of the day, as we've already discussed, just because we study a topic and we realize and we see the truth of the matter doesn't mean that we in here might not have to give up something that was a liberty. Does that make sense? Is that making sense, what I'm trying to say? That you know, just like Paul clears up in 1 Corinthians and in Romans, what the truth is that eating of meats does not matter to the Lord, okay? You eat of it with thanks. You know, you give thanks and you eat those things. It doesn't matter, all right? He's made those things clean. But the reality is the strong needed to bear with the scruples of the weak, which means they would maybe need to give up something. As Paul says, he was willing to give up if meat caused his brother to stumble, he will never eat meat again. All right, even though he knows that it does not matter, that it's his liberty to do or not to do. He's still willing to give it up. But anyway, you know, you just kind of got to think through, I think, in your own, and I guess for us, is what do we do when something like this does come up? And again, I personally believe that we ought to study it, talk about it, but again, at the end of the day, that doesn't mean that we're not going to wind up having to give something up because it's an issue. And then I guess the last thing I would say is, you know, when in doubt, just think about somebody else. Think about others. You know, if you go to 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat of it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of your the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whether you do, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, either to the Jews, or to the Greeks, or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. All right. So, you know, he starts out here saying, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. So I think when in doubt, just think about the other person. You know, that's why when I start out saying I think this is pretty simple conceptually, you know, the reality is if we quit thinking about our own interest and we quit thinking about us, what we want, what my right is, what my liberty is, what I have the right to do, what I want to do, if we'll quit thinking about that and think about the other person, a lot of this will just go away. It'll solve itself. If I don't seek my own and I think of the other person and I ask the question, does this edify the other person? A lot of this will just go away. And then, you know, is this going to offend, grieve, hurt someone else's conscience? You know, you can kind of, maybe you could ask some more questions here. And again, I think, you know, this is going to there's going to certainly be things I hadn't talked about this morning that are going to fall under here. But, you know, this idea of the holidays, you know, I brought up this idea that Miss Wanda had about yoga, you know, my hair, what I do on Sundays. I'm sure we've all kind of heard these, some of this about folks, you know, believing you ought not do any form of work on Sunday. That, you know, kind of as the Sabbath was in the Old Testament. And, you know, people, I think, legitimately have some strong feelings about these things, just like those Jews had some strong feelings about, you know, eating of meats, eating of things offered to idols, you know, this whole Gentile Jew thing. You know, they brought a lot of those things from their past life. And, we all are going to have some of those things, and we need to be sensitive to that, maybe. Maybe that's not the right word, but conscious of that, of our brethren, and what is helpful for the other person. And again, if we quit thinking about ourselves, quit thinking about what we want, I think all of this will go just a lot smoother. Because that's really, you know, if we look at Paul's attitude, if we look at Jesus and what his attitude was, neither one of them, I think you could say, were seeking their own. They were always looking out for someone else. They were always striving to further the kingdom. You know, especially you look at Paul's life. I mean, I think he's such a great example for us. And when you come to this subject and just look, see what he did, see what he said, see what he taught. He was always willing to do what was best for the other person. So that's what I leave you with. I know that there's certainly some application things that we have not, you know, nailed down, you may say. But again, as I was thinking through going to teach Romans 14 here in several weeks, I thought it would just be helpful for us to have our minds maybe thinking about some of these things and, you know, discussing them together and being ready when things like this do come up in our lives, that we make the right decisions, that we do the right thing in regards to these this subject. So if there's any need of any of the saints here, we'd ask that you come forward while we stand and sing.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound.